This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 19th, episode 2061, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday of Thanksgiving week. So many of you have a short week this year, this week. So I hope you enjoy that. Big news over the weekend, Jamie. It's all everybody was talking about is The FEI is in their annual meeting. You know, their powwow where they get together. I think they're in Bahrain this year. And so in the General Assembly today, the FEI quietly acknowledged the potential abandonment of the World Equestrian Games in favor of individual discipline championships. The FEI confirmed that they have opened the bidding process for the 2022 FEI World Equestrian Games twice, and it did not produce any realistic bids. I wonder what the unrealistic bids were.
Realistic. Try on what bid, but that's not realistic.
What does that mean, like a realistic bid? Does that mean that, like, hey, y'all, I got 18 acres here in Norman, Oklahoma, and y'all's welcome to come use it?
Exactly. I think that's what the problem was. Because of this, the Bureau unanimously agreed to open the bidding process for individual world championships for all divisions in 2022. They also included that multidiscipline bids would receive preference so people could put, you know, jumping and eventing together or whatever. And they also want dressage and para to be together, obviously, because they're both dressage. So that's what's going on. The sad thing about this, and it's not a big surprise. I mean, it's just like the Olympics. Every place that ever has the Olympics loses money and the buildings sit abandoned. That didn't happen in Kentucky, but they lost money, but the buildings at least aren't sitting abandoned. But the sad thing about this is, and it came up, there were a lot of comments on the 2018 WEG Show's Facebook page, is that because they're all in one place, you would tend to come see the event you want to see and then buy tickets for things you wouldn't normally see. So you're not, you know, you might have been there for eventing and you're going to watch jumping, or you might have been there for jumping, you're going to watch driving. You would not fly to Europe to watch driving if you weren't interested, but you would do it if it happened to be there at the same time. So that's the one thing that's going to be really missing, having individual championships.
This is just, it's almost like they're just like going to host another Kentucky, you know,
just
or a three-day
championship. Yep, it's just a championship. And you know, most of the disciplines and most of the breeds have their own championships anyway, right? So they have it anyway. I don't know. This is the way it was before WEG. Everybody had individual championships, and the idea was to get it together, but it's just proved too costly and too cumbersome.
I just can't even imagine how you could put together the scope of that event, and that's kind of what's happened, is it's not able to be done because it's just too grand of a thing. So here's the, I mean, to do all that in 2 weeks, all those different sports is amazing. So now, Glenn, here's the deal. You're going to have the 2022 jumping radio show.
I thought
the 2022 eventing radio show. Oh God, you're gonna have so many shows.
We're just gonna travel the world.
The 2022
shows.
Para dressage show. The 2022.
And the answer to that is no.
No. No. It ain't not going to happen.
Yeah, so I'm sad.
Show.
I'm a little sad. I mean, it, you know, it was something that we've done now. You know, we did it in 10, we did it in 18. It was kind of fun to do, and it was fun for people to come and watch. And that was the comments from people is look, this is the one. I saved my money for 4 years so I could go see a multitude of events in one place. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of people came for both weeks for both weeks and saw everything. So if you're going to do that, you're going to be spending some money traveling to Europe, I think. That's what's going to happen.
Sounds about right.
There you go. There's going to be more coming out of the General Assembly too, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. It is televised live if you really want to sit through that. But it is televised live apparently for the first time.
Is that FEI TV?
I would assume FEI Probably. TV has it. Probably have to pay for it. That's what's going on with WEG. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Dr. Chain explains healthy horse and healthy horses, how they go together. And then next up, our favorite CIA operative, Megan Alleen, joins us to talk about the mounted archery clinic she attended recently. And then the Wacky World of Horse Station takes a look at the purchase price of horses through rose-colored glasses. They're probably cracked. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. And a happy birthday to auditors Misty West and Kayla Mosher. Happy birthday to both of you. And I also want to give a big congratulations to Eventing Radio Show host Liz Holiday Sharp, who over the weekend won the CIC 3-star at the Ocala Jockey Club International 3-day event on her horse Fernhill by Night. Last year she had a rail and ended up not winning. She was in place to win. She redeemed herself this year and she came in first. So good news for a host of the Horse Radio Network.
She killed him too, man. She had a 30 and the second place was 37.
That's
crazy.
She led start to finish. And Jennifer, you were over there on Saturday. How was the cross country?
Cross country was a blast to watch. They had changed the course around a little bit this year, so I had to find a different spot. But because it's so hilly over there, it's nice. You can stand at the top of a hill and watch a lot. There was one particular fence that was a what do they call it? A corner. It was too skinny, shaped like a V.
Yes,
but
corner.
It was at the bottom of a significant hill, and that caused a lot of runouts. But obviously, Fernhill by Night and Liz aced it. So it was a lot of fun. It wasn't as big this year. There wasn't as much pomp and circumstance this year as last year, but the competition was superior.
And that's the only hill in Marion County, by the way.
If I had to run down a hill, jockey club. If I had to run down a hill and jump a skinny, I would run out too. A corner. Yeah.
Jamie's no, thanks. With or without the horse? Both.
I'm running out. You can do whatever you want. I'm out.
Yeah, some of those skinnies are getting... Is there a rule about how skinny a skinny can be?
I don't know, but I figure if your toes brush the sides, it's probably too skinny.
Yeah, if your horse's belly is hitting both flags, it's probably too skinny. So, anyway.
Haley. Okay, I've got to let you know about my dramatic event that happened this weekend. And why do all emergencies for veterinarians happen on Sundays?
When it's triple time for them to show up.
It's triple time, and I'm not really established here with a vet. I can't. I've met one, you know, but it would be tough for me to get her out. So, I don't have a barn yet. So when I feed the horses, I have to tie each of them to the fence. So like I take Chili out. Duke just stands like with a halter on by himself eating because he eats really slow. And then I have to tie Pink up. And then I have to bring Zeus out. We got to put him in the round pen. I got to take the Cerberus, put him in the two little muck stalls that I made. Anyway, feeding time is a nightmare. But the horses know that when I come out at a certain particular time in the afternoon, it's feeding time. And they all thunder up the hill. Well, yesterday was really cold. And it was probably 30 degrees and there's a slight wind and the wind just cuts right through you here. So my hands are freezing. I'm making the green. I quit doing the wet beat pulp because it would just freeze. So I'm making the grain, and every horse has its own specific thing. And Chad's, you know, this is a nightmare. He has made comments several times.
I was just thinking, this is a horse husband nightmare.
Yeah. There's no way I could have a farm sitter that would do this. It's just, I treat 8 horses like I have 1. And that's the problem, is it's exhausting. So anyway, get all these horses. They have all their food. Chili's got his pergolide. All the thoroughbreds have their omega alpha supplements. Zara has her Minarec. You know, like, everybody's got their stuff. And I time all the things. And I call the, I try to prep the feed before the horses come galloping up.
Well, good idea. I'm in
the, yeah. And they all come galloping up, and there's like a big fight at the gate. You know, it's just a nightmare. Try to lock Zeus away first. And I bring the horses in. And I bring Jacob the pony. He's the POA pony that I have that recently became mine. I bring him out and I tie him to the fence. And I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong with you? You know, they just galloped up the hill and he was shaking. His hind end was shaking. His shoulder muscles were shaking, twitching almost. And I mean, he's a colored breed, you know. There, so I'm like, oh my God, he is... I mean, shaking, but from his hips to his toes, from his withers to his toes, just trembling. And so, oh my God, I got to get my emergency kit. I think he's having some like PSSM, like muscle something. I don't know what's going on. I've never seen this happen.
It wasn't just from being cold, huh?
I run in the house. I get my thermometer and my stethoscope. His heart rate is fine. His temperature is like a little bit below normal, but I have one of those digital ones, and I don't always trust those anyway. So I'm like, John, I need help. And he comes out, and every horse is standing out there fine. Just Jacob is like shaking. And I put some grain in, and he's really not even interested in grain, which for this pony is crazy. So John, I need help, because I don't know who I'm going to call. I'm taking a video. So I send the video to Dr. Hendricks in Phoenix, of course. Poor woman on a Sunday afternoon.
She thought she was rid of you.
I don't know what to do, Dr. Hendricks. Please tell me what's wrong. I'm like, and I'm taking the video, and I'm like, his temperature is this. His heart rate is this. His breathing is this. He's just a... And Chad comes out, and I'm like, I don't know why Jacob's shaking. And Chad looks at him, and he goes, you think he's cold? No, he's not cold. He's half Shetland, for God's sake. No, he's... Look at all this hair. He can't be cold. That's it. Fine. While I'm waiting, I'm going to throw a blanket on him. And so I put the closest size blanket I have is Zara's blanket. And I put it on him. Son of a bitch. He stopped shaking.
You've lived in Phoenix way too long.
This pony is cold. How can a Shetland cross be cold? That's just impossible. These Arizona horses are such wussies. And you're going to tell me on these blanket studies I've been reading that you shouldn't blanket horses. I call shenanigans. Blanket your damn horses.
I think some horses handle the heat better and some horses handle the cold better.
Why is a... I mean, his hair is 3 inches deep. Okay. I can't even feel the pony because of all the hair. And he's the one shaking. I thought he was having some like muscle protein malfunction. He's like locking up. He's going to fall over and die.
In your defense, though, for 8 years, we've been talking about every single week all the things that can kill our horses.
That's what I thought. I was like, I'm going to have to go back through horsesinthemorning.com and research why horses tremble on our Wednesday editions of the veterinary medicine. Oh my God. Nobody can get a hold of anybody. Dr. Hendricks, believe this, she didn't even write me back. I think
you're going to be ignored from now on. Yeah,
don't worry about it. It turns out he was cold, but I made it like sound more dramatic than that. I did.
Oh, she went in and told everybody in the office about that.
Oh God. Well, hopefully it's Sunday. She'll have forgotten by Monday. Yeah. And so my daily winning goes to my husband for being so reasonable. Just walking off being like, look, called me.
Yeah, can I make a note that it was the horse husband that called that one?
Saved the day. That is a husband that does not want to spend an emergency vet bill on a Sunday. Right. By the way, his temperature, now it makes sense. His temperature was 97.7. That's low.
That makes sense. There you go.
Yeah. But why was he cold? I mean, the thoroughbreds, the 2 racehorses I got, those, they wear blankets all the time. Just, I mean, it's,
well, he's old,
even,
isn't he?
I mean, he's only like 17.
Well, that's older. His guts digest fiber less efficiently, and fiber's what keeps him warm. Therefore, he's chilly.
I just could
actually
not...
he's Jacob, but he's chilly.
They should have just sent it to Jennifer. She could have given you that explanation right there, and you'd have been done.
God, I mean, I was like, we're gonna have to put him down. I can't afford this time. Oh my God, like, what are we gonna do? Because when your horse is having an emergency, Jennifer, do you do the whole like? Coach yourself to prepare yourself.
She had something this morning with Nigel. We're not sure what's going on. So,
tell me everything, and I'll tell you how your horse is going to die. Okay. Because that's how I know feel.
I know what happened. He was out smoking joints all night long. He was partying.
Okay.
Yeah, he did look high.
He did look high. This morning when I went out to give him his breakfast, he was... He was not his usual snooze fest self. He came galloping over to the fence. Nigel never gallops. Wide-eyed and bristly-tailed to have his breakfast, which he gobbled up. But he had not finished his hay last night, and not typical for Nigel. Then after he finished his breakfast, he went over and he was pacing the fence and looking around and worrying and just nonstop movement. Not normal. But by the time an hour had rolled by, he was to the point where he was all lathered up and sweaty.
Really?
Not normal. And I thought it was because they had burned the brush near his paddock, and I thought he was worried about looking at that fire near his field. So I took him out, and daggone, he stuck his face right in the grass right next to the fire and could have cared less. That wasn't it. And I don't know what it is. He's just wired. You know how they get when you take him to a new venue they've never been to? They're fine, but they're kind of wide-eyed and looking around a little bit on guard. He's got that going. He's at home. I don't know what the problem is.
It's kind of strange, you know. Mm-hmm. If it was all those strange diseases that we talked about over the years that are going to kill him, usually it goes the other direction. They're not wired. They're the exact opposite. So
no, this is.
I think that new batch of hay has marijuana in it.
It could be. He's a little high.
Clearly, not to out myself or anything, but I really feel like maybe you've never smoked pot because. That is not what happens at all when you smoke pot. You do not get wired. You go to bed. You laugh a lot, and then you go to bed. And you're hungry, by the way. Not that I know.
Well, he's famished. He's famished.
Maybe he has the exact opposite reaction to it. Who knows?
You said he didn't finish his hay, so that is not...
Yeah, that's not unusual for this hay. It's not unusual.
Okay, so
I... even had good hay that he didn't finish. I don't get it.
So check it out. Just try to see the world like as a horse. Is he looking in one particular direction?
Nope.
Nope.
Gosh, I mean, like my horses went crazy the other day. All of them were just like totally freaked out. And then probably about half an hour later, the scent drifted
up to me.
And it was a skunk.
You don't have those in Phoenix either. We don't have too many skunks here, so we don't get that too often.
Scooter does that every time the fox comes through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, like, he looks in one spot. Nine, it's just weird. He's looking outside of his paddock on all four sides.
Yeah.
Got me.
Deer, skunk, raccoon, fox, something like that, I would say would be setting him off. Or the smell of the smoke, you know, would be something. Gosh, I don't know. Weather changes. Who knows? Horses are crazy. But
why do we?
Yeah, he's just out to worry me. That's what he's doing. Just out to worry me.
Let's.
Can you put him in the stall for a little while just to get him to relax?
That's what we did. Yeah. Okay. Put him in his stall.
I'm looking. He's just hanging with his head out now. All right, let's go on with the show. Radiothon is 1 week from today. I spent the entire weekend, like 24 hours, working on the 110 voicemails that came in. And let's just say Zeus makes an appearance in a couple of songs you'll hear next week.
Damn it, Zeus.
Yeah, well, that's he makes that kind of appearance, too, in the songs.
Okay, good.
Yep. So you'll hear him. We do have, let me see here. We closed the entries for, we did close the entries for voicemails, so you can't send those in. So the only way you can win one of the prizes now is to call in that day. We do have to congratulate Joy Elizabeth Dorsch, who was the one who was selected. Every year, we kind of have this competition to see who is going to be selected for the opening song, the song that actually kicks off the whole radiothon. And her song.
You never usually tell anybody, though. It's usually a secret, and you've let it the cat out of the bag.
Well, I think last year we told too, because actually there was a prize involved, and so she won it. And I played a little bit of it for Jamie this morning, and now you can see why it was. Why she won it. She's really good.
Yeah.
So you'll hear that next week. Also, so what's happening this week is we have a show today, obviously. We have a show tomorrow, the Certified Horsemanship Association. Wednesday, Jamie's back. And on Wednesday, we're going to be taking calls from 10:30 to 11:30 Eastern time. We're going to be opening up the phones. We do this before Thanksgiving. And listeners can call in and just tell us the one thing you're most thankful for. And I'm going to give an entry for Radiothon for each call. So if you call in, we're going to put your name on the list. You get another entry for the prizes on Radiothon Day. And that's on this Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 here on Horses in the Morning.
And there are $5,000 worth of prizes. So it's just a call. You should make it.
Yeah, you should make it. And I think everybody has. And, you know, we try and do the thankful thing. It's Thanksgiving on Thursday. It should be fun. So I just have a couple of news stories. And then I have the 7 reasons we are thankful for our horses. And I want to see if we agree with these. Okay?
I want it right now.
Well, all right. Let's do that. 7 reasons why we are thankful for our horses. This was in the iHeartHorses.com. iHeartHorses.com. I'd never heard of it before. So this was written by iHeartHorses.com. 1, is there a stress reliever? So I think we all know about that. Well, you know,
didn't I describe
would
describe my yesterday.
I think that depends, doesn't it? It depends on the horse and what's happening that particular day. So Zeus, I would say, is not a stress reliever. Would you agree with that?
I'll tell you, that horse is, it makes me bipolar, okay? Because when I ride him and I'm sitting on him, that is ultimate stress relief when I was able to ride him before he did a tendon. And it makes you vanish on the world. Playing with these racehorses in the round, you just lose track of time. Something happens where it just calms your soul. And then I get off of him and I let him go and he goes straight to the gate and gets out. So like, it doesn't matter what you do with him. He will figure out a way to raise your blood pressure after he's already lowered it. So I feel like he just kind of keeps me normal.
2, bringing family together. Again, I think that kind of depends on how your horse husband feels about things and whether your kids are into it. I think it kind of depends.
So Lucas had a riding lesson on Sunday. Actually, we just did some more like a little pony ride on the pony that got cold on Sunday. I'm like, I can't believe I finally get Lucas on him. Now I'm going to have to put him down. Oh, God, he's going to die.
You're such a drama queen.
So when you talk about horses calming you down, I feel like that might not be me as I'm talking to myself here. Bring family together. Yes. Especially when I'm like, Chad, get out here. Jacob's dying.
Yeah, bring the family together. Yay. Yeah.
It forces the family together. They're forced together. 3 on this list thankful for your horse is a best friend. Those of you who are lucky enough to have a horse during teenage years, there were no truer words than he is my best friend. I did not have one, so you'll have to attest to that.
Oh my gosh. My horse growing up was a chestnut thoroughbred. His name was Marche, and I had him from me being 10 to 28. I had him forever. And when I lost him, it was like losing a brother. I mean, that's 18 years of the most, probably the most you grow is 10 to 28. So I felt like that horse kept me out of trouble. You know, my friends were sneaking out and going out at night and I had a horse show the next morning. So he definitely was my best friend and kept me out of trouble. What about you, Jen?
Not only were my horses my best friend, they were my only friend.
Oh.
Yes, definitely. If I didn't have the horses, I would have sat in my room and just read Walter Farley books 24/7 for my entire high school years. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that 23/7 and rode the other hour.
That's right.
Number four on the list. This is a lot like the first one. Unconditional love. Aside from stress relief, this was one of the reasons given the most. After all, who wouldn't be thankful for someone who gives you unconditional love? They've never owned a Hackney Pony.
I feel like dogs have unconditional love.
Yeah, I do
love.
Too. I kind of disagree with this one a little bit.
I don't see horses as unconditional. They're super conditional. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you're awesome. You know how many,
what have you,
know you
done?
Treats?
And how much have you fed me in the last 5 minutes?
No, it's like incredibly conditional. Like, you don't have any food? Bye.
Yeah, I'm disagreeing with that one. Is this making us sound like ogres here? I don't know. Number five, keep me young. Definitely another reason to be thankful for anything, but a horse especially helps keep me young.
That's very true. I wholeheartedly agree with that.
And you do see, when you see these 70 and 80-year-old horseback riders, they tend to be healthier and, you know, feel younger. So I agree with that one, too.
I think there's a darker side to this one.
Oh, Lord.
They help keep you young, but they also age you in fits and starts.
Well, that's true.
Yesterday, for example. You aged 10 years and 17 minutes, Jamie.
That could be possible. But children do that, too. So,
you know, yeah.
The same.
That's probably true.
But you know what? It ages you if you don't wear sunscreen outside, okay? Wear sunscreen.
That's true.
But I'll tell you, at 41, I walk all the time. And Leslie is actually the one who made me think of this. And now every time I always said, if I'm running, you should run too, because something's chasing me. But I have realized that what Leslie said is I'm a sprinter, because I'll go, oh crap, I left the water on, and I'll sprint over to the water and turn it off, you know, or something. I need my other, the second boot. I forgot it. And I'll sprint to the chat room and get it. So I think it keeps me so much more active than just a regular mom of a 5-year-old, you know, that doesn't have horses, or they just make you active. You cannot be a lazy horse owner.
Well, it does just force you to leave the house. You know, because a lot of people don't. It just does to force you to leave
because
the house.
Because that highly conditional love that they give.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And their non-neediness. Number six, teaches us things. A large number of you are also thankful for what your horses teach you. Love, patience, forgiveness, and trust. And I think patience being the biggest one of those. Yeah. I agree with this one. They do teach you things.
Oh, God. They teach children and veterans and any human that deals with them.
The veterans organizations just received $1 million grant. The veterans organizations who deal with horses, a couple of them are splitting it up, but they've just received a grant from a veterans organization of $1 million. So you're going to see that program even increasing more.
That's great. Yep. I know they do that a lot at Flags Up Farms. So it's awesome.
It works too. And their forgiving nature. It's amazing how forgiving horses can be. They seem to know when you don't know how to ride well or having a bad day. Babysitter horses are definitely something to be thankful for. Again, I'm glad they threw in babysitter horses, because I don't think all horses are this forgiving or thankful.
It's definitely a personality.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you really look for when you're horse shopping and you're not a trainer. You know, you're like, that's the kind of horse that I shop for clients for, is one of those forgiving ones that, despite your best efforts, they're still going to keep going and do their job.
That's right. So we're going to look for what you're thankful for. It doesn't have to be even horse related. It can be anything, on Wednesday. So keep an eye on Facebook too. It's 10:30 to 11:30. We'll post the phone number there. And it's also on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. I have a funny story here for you. I just thought this was funny. The headline was giant horse being assembled in sculpture park near Montrose, South Dakota. South Dakota's newest attraction is being built off Interstate 90 in Montrose on Thursday. The Porter Sculpture Park is putting up a 50-foot, 40-ton giant horse. Crews started work on it at 9 a.m. The creator, Wayne Porter, spent 10 years to build it. It was disassembled, and they're moving it 140 miles to its new home, and it's being reassembled. The part that caught my attention was the horse's tail will be facing the interstate. So basically what that means is the horse's ass end is going to be pointing toward the interstate.
I poop on you, traffic.
Just thought, couldn't they put the head toward the interstate? Why is the horse's butt toward the interstate? I don't know. I thought that was funny. And who made that decision? How did that happen?
I like it. I had to face somewhere.
It's funny. Also, one other quick thing. There's something that's happening that doesn't happen ever anymore. There's racetracks closing everywhere. There's going to be a bunch of Greyhound tracks closing here in Florida, but there's a horse tracks closing. There's a new one being built. It was just approved. The Kentucky Horse Racing Commission has picked a winner for the new $150 million racetrack. And believe it or not, it's a harness track. It's being built in Oak Grove, which is in southern Kentucky down near the Tennessee border. And it's near Fort Campbell, which, of course, is a very large fort. And it's $150 million, and it's a partnership between Churchill Downs and Keeneland are going together to put this out. And it's going to be a 125-room hotel, 1,200-person seat capacity grandstand, indoor event space, 3,000-person capacity outdoor amphitheater and a stage, and a modern equestrian center with indoor and outdoor rings. So not only are they building the track, they're also putting in an equestrian center, a venue for having concerts, and all kinds of stuff. So that you just don't see that happen. And, of course, a casino.
I was going to ask, is gambling legal there? Putting that near a military base, got to be whatever, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, so that's going to be built, and it's a harness track, which is something if you were going to tell me they were going to build a new harness track, I would have said you were crazy, but that's what's happening. So there you go. That's something we don't see happen too often right now.
Well, we have our first guest on the line, Dr. Chang, and it's that time of year where every horse is sick. Baby Zara has a cold and the boogers coming out and all that. So we've got a solution for that, or actually they have a solution for that. And from Omega Alpha Equine, we've got Dr. Chang. Good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you and Glenn today?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Do you guys have Thanksgiving in Canada?
We did, but ours was in October. I know the U.S. one's coming up this weekend. If memory serves me correct,
it is. I was kind of making a joke because I think I asked you last time, do you guys have Christmas in Canada?
I think one question you never asked me is, do we have snow?
Is it snowing there right now? I mean, you're in Toronto. Do you guys get leg effect snow? Do you get dumped on, or is it?
No. Buffalo gets that. I feel sorry for Buffalo, but we had a banana belt. We get snow, but it's not as bad as Buffalo. We don't get the lake effect up here as much.
That's good.
So
I lived
relatively snow free.
I lived east of Cleveland, and same thing as Buffalo, man. You just get dumped on, and then you want to talk about trying to keep your horses healthy when they can't get to the water because the entire thing is frozen. Oh, my God, I hated scooping out the water troughs of ice. Hey, just stick your hand in there. That sounds good. Grab that big chunk of ice. Really fun. Well, I'm glad you guys don't get crushed with snow, but let's talk a little bit about Healthy Horse, the 4-in-1 solution. And immune health. So start with just this time of year and what happens to your horse's immune system and yours.
No, this time of year is when everybody's slowing down, unless you are training out in Florida, etc. But now most competitions are finished. You know, racing is winding down. Everything is winding down for the year, and I think it starts up again in January. So now's the perfect time to address certain issues with your horses. So something like boosting the immune system, because at this time of year, change of weather, you know, the horses are like people. Change of weather, everything known to man, you're going to pick up, right? So if you have one horse with a cough, everybody gets it. So one of the ways that you want to deal with this is try to boost the immune system of your horse, so then at least, you know, he has a fighting chance to ward off some of these coughs and colds, and he or she may not get as severe a cough and cold as some horses never had anything to boost the immune system. So it's more of a preventative. Another thing that we should look at also at this time of the year is to do a liver flush. Again, the idea here is not necessarily that you're going to clean out your liver or clean out all of the toxins in your system, but it's to keep ahead of toxins. You know, as a horse, you know, when you cut your hay, I know most people, you know, think that there's no pesticides in the environment. They don't think there's pesticides on their hay, and then they try to wash it off by soaking it. That gets some of it, but it doesn't get all of it. So, you know, your horse is ingesting more pesticides than he normally would back in the day when nobody used pesticides. And I know people with organic hay will say, oh, we don't spray our hay. Nobody sprays their hay, but Farmer Brown up the street is spraying his soybean, or he's spraying his corn or what have you. A good rain falls, it ends up on your soil, on your hay, in your fields, right? So that's where the horses would pick it up. So it's a good thing to help the system get rid of some of that by, and I call that some of the contaminants that you pick up in the environment. So you could do a liver flush there. And another thing too is that as a blood builder, you know, a lot of the time, you know, you can help build up the bloods of horses in competition. You know, if you increase your blood components, your red cell count, you know, it'll help carry more oxygen around, right? Now, the blood builders, people are always afraid, oh, we use a blood builder, we'll get a positive drug test, because they'll say, ah, your red cell count is too much. The nice thing about herbal-type blood builders, it works in concert with the body, so you can't really increase your blood to the point where you'll trigger a positive test. There's too many negative feedback control loops to control that, but it pushes you to the upper side of normal, right? Okay. But you're still within the normal range, right? So everybody who's in competition would know, more blood you have, the more oxygen you can carry, the better your results are going to be at competition, all things being equal, meaning that your horse is healthy, you know, because you could have great blood, but if he has a cold or a flu, you're going to run into trouble.
So far, what we've done is you've talked about the liver flush to help cleanse out all of the environmental toxins and environmental toxins, things that they eat, things they breathe, everything like that. Then we've got a way to build the blood, which, you're right, if they're getting more oxygen, more red blood cells, which carry the oxygen, they're going to be not only for competition a step ahead, but also to battle cold and virus a little bit ahead as well. So what else is there? We've got, that's two.
And then
Immune Plus. Right.
And then there's also the lung flush. The lung flush is good for, you know, at this time of the year, maybe it's allergies, who knows? Sometimes there's mold, right? Inside is wet, and the horses are more indoors than outdoors. I mean, out in your sunny areas of the U.S., you don't have that problem. But I do know, you know, like if you're in New York State or Pennsylvania, all those places, you know, more and more horses are kept indoors now because the cold weather is coming. So there's more mold, and so you have runny noses, etc. And what that lung flush will do, it'll help dry up some of that mucus, so it helps it fight the effect of the allergic reactions to the molds and so on, right? So you have, so all those four components are in one product, which we call Healthy Horse, right? It's a convenience type product, so it's a one-stop shop type of product that you use instead of taking four different products and mixing together. Right, so it's a very decent combination that we've put together just for situations like this, so change of season type of thing.
Perfect. And so that's called a Healthy Horse. It's a 4-in-1 solution because, yeah, if you were to get all four of these, you're going to be pumping your horse, feeding him and putting a lot of stuff down his throat. This is nice. You did all the hard work for us. You put them all together. And yeah, I can't imagine how healthy your horse could be with the red blood cells boosted, the immune system boosted, the lung flush, because I've had great success with lung flush on horses that cough a little bit before work. Then you've got the liver flush, and I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, no. I've taken the liver flush. That's a hangover.
Now's a good time. Yeah, now's a good time to use it. But I mean, even during competition, it's also a good time because there's really it really works well. And as I said, because it's a convenience type product, it's a lot more user-friendly because I know most people who look after horses, you need to give your horses this supplement, that supplement, that supplement. Before you take a look at it, you know, you're doing like 10 different supplements for your horse, right? That's why people say horses have staff. You are their staff.
Yeah, I know. I feel like staff. This is great. This would be something that the Healthy Horse 4-in-1 solution, if you get, you know, a rescue and you're like, it's just kind of a poor doer, or you have a poor doer at home and you're just like, gosh, I just want to get him better. This would be something that you could look at. Now, there is an Oasis training seminar. It's on November 26th, and it is presented by Omega Alpha's in-house registered holistic nutritionist, Joanne Carth, Natural Solutions for Common Health Concerns. Also, if you would like to find that, send an email to csmith@omegaalpha.ca, and then you can find that. You can find more information about the training seminar, or you can find out where a dealer is. If you can't find what you're looking for from a dealer, you can go to omegaalpha.com and look under where to buy. On that page, you'll find a list of online stores or retailers and your zip code to see if there's a dealer. You can also email csmith@omegaalpha.ca or call 1-877-436-1221 and ask for Tim. He'll help you find a dealer. Now, doctoring, thank you so much for being on and sponsoring this show. Everybody check it out. Omegaalpha.com, Healthy Horse, the 4-in-1 solution. And anything else you'd like to add?
Well, this is November, and I wish everyone in the U.S. a very happy Thanksgiving. And don't eat too much turkey, but just make sure if you do that, loosen the belt and go for a walk.
Or take a nap. Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Thanks, Dr. Chang.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for having me on board. Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
And happy Thanksgiving to all of those in Canada months late.
About that. I knew they had one. I just wasn't sure when it was. I didn't know if it corresponded.
There's like the 1st of October or something. It's like at the very beginning of October. And we always miss it. And then Rhonda sends me a note and says, you forgot about our Thanksgiving. So every year I get yelled at. But apparently that doesn't cause us to actually learn. So there you go.
You don't even remember your wedding anniversary.
Rhonda, positive reinforcement. Positive reinforcement.
Tell us ahead of time.
Yeah, and then send us some goodies, and we'll remember. All right, next up is one of our terrific auditors.
That's right. Oh, no song, just going to go straight to Megan then?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'd like to welcome guest Megan Aline. Now, Megan is also typically my co-host, so Glenn, you don't even need to be here.
This is the one time I actually get to talk to Glenn. I was kind of hoping that he would at least stick around for a moment.
Oh, I was just walking out. I thought I was done.
Yes, you can talk to Glenn. Okay, go ahead. Say
hi. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
Good. This is weird. Jamie hasn't had off. I want to have you as my co-host sometime.
I know. It'll be just as weird. So it'd be awesome.
Megan is moving from one of the most beautiful places in the world to a much warmer place.
That is true. That is true. In less, about 2 weeks' time, at the next Friday is when we leave. So it should be super interesting. And everybody is thoroughly confused, which is super entertaining for me.
Because you're moving from where to where?
I'm moving from Washington State to Alabama State.
Alabama State. How exactly is this move taking place?
It's going to be in a truck full of dogs and a small U-Haul trailer because they own 4 things. So it'll be super simple.
Now, you lived in a camper or something, right?
Yes, I live in an RV. So the RV is staying because I don't want to take it and I can afford a house. So that's super awesome. So if I don't have to live in the RV, I will continue not to. And I actually already have the house. So that's awesome.
And you can afford a house because Alabama is about a quarter of the cost of living in Washington State.
Exactly. Especially in the gorge. Yeah. My rental is actually cheaper than what I pay for my parking spot to keep my camper. So that's awesome.
There you go.
So did you sell the camper? Are you keeping it for visiting? What's the deal?
Is actually my dad's summer home is what he likes to call it. So he would like to keep it up here for when he retires in a couple months. He's going to then come up here and stay in it for a while he builds his house up here.
Nice. Cool. Well, I'm glad that's all working out and you're moving to Alabama. Yay. Okay. So what I noticed when I moved here, We just moved here. Where'd you come from? Phoenix? Why?
That's right.
That's what I get all the time. Like, it's shocking. People, I'm like, I finally said to somebody, I go, why is it so surprising that we moved here? What is so bad about this place? And if it's so bad, why haven't you left?
All good questions.
Nobody's giving me an answer.
And the people in the job who interviewed me asked me 4 different times, do you know this job is in Alabama, right? And it was like, yeah. And so you're wanting to relocate. It's like, yep, I'm going to move across the country. It's okay. It happens.
You're the first one they interviewed that ever wanted to move to Alabama. It was like, what?
I love that feeling.
Like, it's a great job, but it's in Alabama.
Yeah.
So you're like, no, that's fine. What? Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. I get it.
They probably did a background check. Is she trying to hide from somebody?
What? How far is that drive? Exactly.
And I passed it, though. Totally passed the background check. So
they don't know you very well.
All that money, all that hush money totally worked out in the end.
How far is the drive from what? I mean, you're going as diagonally far as you can go aside from Florida. So how far is it from Washington to Alabama?
If we get to go 84 to 80, it's 2,407 miles.
Whoa. With dogs.
So, wow. It'll only take like a couple of, minutes or days.
Wow. And you're not taking your horse. So you don't have to worry about stopping at horse hotels or anything like that. Just pet friendly.
Right.
Hotels.
I'm going to have her professionally shipped. So I don't
Smart
have
move.
To worry about that.
Smart
sort of
move.
Thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of her horse, we actually have her on to talk about something other than moving, don't we?
It's true. So this is something I'm really fascinated by and interested in. And if I could do it someday, I would be really happy. And so you did it. And I'm like, I've got to talk to her about it. You took an archery clinic.
I did. I took a mounted archery clinic, not just an archery clinic,
right.
A mounted archery clinic.
How does that work exactly? I mean, your horse had never done that before. So did you borrow a trained horse or like, how does that work?
Right. So this particular lady, her name's Lisa Badger, and she runs Heart Horse Industries, I think is the name of her business, up in here in Washington, just north of Vancouver. And so she has 4 horses that she has trained that all are super quiet and they'll do whatever you want them to do. And so her clinic is only 4 people. So we got to use her horses. So we didn't necessarily have to lose any time in trying to get our horses used to it. And we could at least have a little base of what to expect and how to train our horses to get them used to it. And she kind of went through the whole, like, here's how you start. Like, here are the basics that you need to have. Like, you need to be able to steer without reins. And you need to be able to have your horse stop without reins. And like all this other keep tempo.
Stop. You're going too fast. Okay.
I'm sorry.
What are some of the steps?
I'm sorry.
What are some of the steps that she was telling you? You have to have your horse has to be able to steer without reins.
Right. So you need to be able to put your horse in all 3 gates. You need to be able to stop your horse. You need to be able to steer your horse all without rein.
Okay. Start, stop, all 3 gates without reins. Because I'm interested in trying this with Zeus because I think he might be good at something like this. So that's the training technique for without reins. What else do you have to do? I mean, your horse at some point has to have a bow and arrow on top of it shooting out. So how do you train your horse for that?
So the what she recommends is a lot of like training from the ground. Your horse gets used to the equipment and smelling the bow and arrow and then, having shooting. Not at the horse by any means, but shooting the targets, because when you hit the targets, it's a fairly loud thwack, depending on the target itself. So getting them used to, just shooting on the ground with them in the arena and then moving slightly closer. And then pretty soon you're shooting, right next to them and then kind of working it up. And not all horses can do it, obviously, because it is a fairly loud sound that a lot, clearly not a lot of horses or some horses are not going to ever be okay with it. But it was really, really interesting how it was just kind of like just like anything, breaking it down into steps, slowly introducing him to it. And, if you have a fairly quiet horse, which we all know Zeus is, he should be fine. You just kind of have to probably going to have to worry about like him not eating the arrows and the bow would be probably my guess your biggest issue.
Yeah, I think so. It's like, I got this, Mom. Let me have it. He'll just take it.
Here, I can shoot it. It's fine. I got it.
Okay, so you would take the horse, make sure you can walk, trot, canter, and halt with no reins. Then you take the target and you put it kind of 20 feet away and, you know, let them sniff everything first and then go away and then shoot and slowly kind of work your way back to them and then maybe stand on a mounting block next to them and shoot. And then you can do it from their back and try that and shoot. Cool. That's awesome. Okay. How do you shoot a bow and arrow? Like, how does that work?
Well, I've found there are actually several different ways to do that. Like, I thought there was only one way to do it, and evidently there's more than one way to do it. So the way that she taught us, only because it was the way that she was most comfortable teaching, she showed us the other couple ways, but is called what's called the thumb hold, I think it is. So you essentially take your thumb I'm really, really bad at explaining this, but if you take your thumb and bend it, that's where the string will be in. And then when you release it, you essentially just straighten your thumb out and that's what releases the string.
Okay. Cause I have a bow and arrow and it always hurts my, like I was doing it with my like pointer finger and you pull it back and let it go like that. But no, you held it with the thumb and then straighten your thumb out, ping, and it goes.
Exactly. So you kind of are, and you're holding, so you kind of counterclockwise turn your wrist a little to hold. So your index finger holds the arrow against the string to keep it from falling. And then that also falls over on top of your thumb. So when you're ready to release, you just straighten your finger and move your thumb out. And then, you know, the arrow goes, and it makes that sound too.
I am totally doing that, like, as you're talking. It's so weird. I'm glad nobody's watching me. Okay, so arrow on the thing, the end thing with the string is in your thumb, and you hold it out. Awesome. Okay, and so, because if you recall, I wanted to do this a long time ago. You don't have to recall, but I wanted to. And then my husband, in an effort to, like, really up his Christmas game, bought me this, like, compound bow thing that I'm pretty sure would take down airplanes. So I was like, had wheels and mechanisms. And I just thought, I just want to be Katniss Everdeen or Merida and Brave and canter along and like shoot targets off the side. I don't want to kill an animal. Like this would, I'm pretty sure, run through about 3 deer in a row if it let it go. I don't need that. I just want to like draw. So where are your arrows kept while you're on the horse?
So you will have a quiver, but you can have two types of quivers. You can have, if you're on horseback, you'll have a side quiver, obviously, but it'll either be like a loose quiver. So it's like you would expect in, you know, at a Robin Hood where it's just like a you know, cylinder where all of them kind of sit in.
Is it on your back, like a backpack?
Well, so like the super fancy cool guys totally put it on their back, but, and I really wanted to put it on my back because it looks totally badass, but it actually isn't as efficient as you would think it is. It's actually much more efficient, which in horse archery, you want efficiency, is to have them on your hip, or it actually sits on your upper thigh is where the quiver kind of sits.
On your left thigh or your right thigh?
It depends if you're right-handed or left-handed. If you're right-handed, it will sit on your right thigh. If you're left-handed, it will obviously sit on your left thigh.
So you just draw it up, put it across, and ping. Now, how quick could you do this on your first day?
I was actually trotting and shooting arrows on my first day. So I was pretty proud of myself. I'm not saying I'm totally Katniss Everdeen, but I am so closer than I was a week ago. So that's all that really matters at that point.
And how long did it take at the emergency room?
So, actually, I didn't shoot anybody, but I almost got shot by the other gal. She was about 18, and she was in our group, and we were doing like a distance practice, and some kind of had to arc the bow a little bit, and we were trying to hit a hula hoop that was probably about 100 yards away, and 4 times in a row, she almost shot me with her arrow. It was so not cool.
I'd be like, we're going to have to ask you to leave, ma'am. You are not in my group anymore.
Exactly. No, it was a lot of fun. But no, I didn't actually end up shooting anybody, although my arm did get horribly bruised because I have double jointed elbows, evidently, and that's a problem in archery.
Oh, so you have
other than that was the only injury I had.
That makes sense because I saw your bruised pictures. Well, cool. Megan, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this. Glenn, is there a mounted archery website that you could like send us to right now?
Jennifer might know. We actually have a very fancy mounted archery farm near us that has all the very fanciest stuff. And it's like one of the top guys in the world and he's not too far from us. Jennifer, do you know the name of it?
Just Google
there's one horse archery US.
Archery US.
Horse Archery US and .us and there's one mountedarchery.org.
Mountedarchery.org. Okay, cool, Megan. You've got me inspired to try this. Zeus needs a job. So I think this would be, aside from him, like you said, biting it the arrow in his teeth and breaking it, which he'll do if he gets access to it. You've inspired me. I'm in. I'm gonna start
Let's
with those suction cup ones though.
That's probably best at this point.
It's true. All right, Megan, you're the best. Thank you so much for joining us and good luck with your move. I hope to talk to you on the way or Facebook your whole journey.
It's going to happen. It's going to be documented for sure.
Awesome. Good luck.
Thank you, Megan.
Talk
to you
soon.
Bye.
Bye.
She was looking at Florida. We were disappointed she wasn't.
I know.
End up in Florida.
I wanted her to move to Texas or Oklahoma. It was so funny. And she's like, I don't care. I'm just going to get a job somewhere and move there. And so it's kind of fun.
Isn't it
crazy
that she's renting a whole house for the price of renting a spot at the campground?
Yeah.
In the Northeast.
That's amazing. And isn't it crazy that she was like spending winters in that thing? Yeah. No. Bye-bye.
All right, Jamie has to cut out. She has to go meet with the builders. So we're going to get Leslie on and talk to her, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Okay, make sure you talk about something pregnancy-related that's gross so you can make
no, that was last week. I'm going to avoid that. I'm glad you're leaving.
Oh, we're going to do more. But yeah, you're off the hook today.
All right, thanks, All right. Jamie.
Vayner to Gallant, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hi, Leslie, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Okay. And of course, we're talking to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, Eventing Nation, Jumping Nation, all the nations.
Yes.
Leslie, Jamie had to cut out. She had to go meet the builders. She's getting her barn built at the new place. So she wanted me to talk about babies, but I said, no, we're not doing that this week because you guys grossed me out last week. Although I will say, and for those that missed it last week, Leslie announced that she was pregnant. And I noticed that you surprised some people on your Facebook posts.
Yeah, we did. We just sort of, we made it social media, Facebook official yesterday. We wanted to make sure we, you know, told everybody, so nobody just, you know, close to us, really close to us found out from Facebook or,
there's always that one person, though, that's still mad. Yeah.
And of course we gave you guys the exclusive last week, so.
You just couldn't wait to tell us. That was
couldn't tell you. Couldn't wait. Yeah.
That had nothing to do with exclusive. You were just dying to tell us.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It's interesting because I think people assume that when women get to, you know, well, it's no secret what your age is, right? We've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. To high 30s, that they just seem not having kids, you know, and then it's a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially to my parents. They'd like pretty much given up hope. And Tommy's parents were like, okay, no grandkids from this duo. Yeah. But, but what do you know?
Well, it's coming.
Yeah.
And daddy seems pretty proud. I saw his post. He seems pretty proud.
Yeah. Yeah. He's excited. And I'm 37 and I'm glad. I mean, I know there are some risks to waiting until you're a little older, but I don't know. I've just had such a action-packed little life so far. It has been sort of unfathomable to me before this point to like slow down at all. So
she had to get her Lady Martha years over.
yeah. But well, not that I intend to slow down much, but
I was going to say, I don't think that's going to stop you either. Well, what are we talking about today from Horse Nation?
Oh, goodness. Well, let's see. We've got on Horse Nation, we've got still, you know, we're your number one source of support for No Stirrup November. We've got some social media roundups and inspirational posts and some sort of helpful pragmatic posts to kind of get you through the home stretch of the month. So that's exciting.
I forget where the article was. Did you read it that came out and basically said, you don't get anything by doing this? There always has to be a counter article. But this is, you know, this Stirrup November has become such a big thing now that you have counter articles.
Yes. There's always some curmudgeon out there. But yeah, and then you know, the usual wacky world of Horse Nation Fair. One of my favorite articles of the week was from Maria, who is our sort of resident mule enthusiast on our riding team, and she wrote this story that was 11 ways my mule definitely tries to mess with me.
Let's go through these and see if our horses do the same thing, or if it's exclusive to mules.
A lot of them, they're not exclusive to mules. It sounds an awful lot like a lot of horses to me. So yeah,
now let's go through them and see. He loves this. I'll do number one. He loves to step on the hose when I'm giving him a bath, filling up the water trough, or trying to string out the hose to put it away. Yes, my pony does that.
They know exactly where that hose is, and they know exactly, and they just stand there like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, yes, you do.
Scooter wants to eat it. He really wants to eat it. He is fascinated by water. So we have the automatic water tub in his field. And when you empty it and then scrub it out, you know, clean it out, and it starts to fill back up, he dives right in. It's fresh water, but it doesn't matter if it's going up his nose and it's squirting out. Really, he doesn't care.
He
loves that. Yeah. I'm sure Princess too. It's like, you know.
Yes.
Princess is like my pony. She does anything she can to just mess with you.
Yeah, exactly. let's see, number two here. When I ask him to pick up a foot, he likes to put all the weight onto that hoof and plant it firmly on the ground and then lift up any other hoof but the one I need.
Yeah, that's a horse thing too.
Yeah. They know exactly. Again, they know exactly where their feet are, what they're standing on, and they're not dyslexic in any way. Like, they're just messing with you.
That's right. he loads great into the trailer. Unless I have an audience, then he forgets how to load. I think that kind of is a mule thing, though. I really do.
Maybe.
Because they're like showing off, going, look, we're a different breed here, and I'm going to show you how it goes.
Yeah. And especially if you're in a hurry, too.
Right.
I would say even more than an audience. It's always like they know when you're in a hurry. And that's when they're like, nah.
Does Princess load?
I'd rather not.
Is she a good loader?
She's perfect at everything. So,
okay, except making babies, apparently.
Except for making babies, yeah.
I was thinking about that, by the way. Off on a tangent here, quick squirrel. I was thinking about what you said last week about how you had this whole production about making sure you got pregnant at the exact same time as your pony, and blah blah blah, and it was this whole thing, and you were disappointed when it didn't happen, and it was like, leave it to a horse girl to complicate a simple thing like getting pregnant.
Yeah. That's what my therapist said too. She was like, because I was like, listen, I have this plan, and she's you know, didn't bat an eyelash. She like played it cool, but was like, I understand where you're coming from. Like, horses have always played this role in your life, and of course you're doing this important thing. You want to have a horse doing it with you, but I'm deeply concerned about the logistics of this, and if you are going to be okay if it doesn't work out.
Your like, therapist knows you so well.
Yeah, I'm deeply concerned too, but everything's good, everything's fine. So yeah,
I think number four might be a more of a mule thing, and that is tacking up. He moves his body and plants it firmly against a fence or a wall so he can't get the saddle over. I can see a mule or a donkey doing that.
Yeah. Yep. I can see that. That is just pure stubborn and just being giving you a hard time.
Yeah, just a mule thing. Yep, he unties himself when no one is looking and just stands there all smug that he's smart enough to do it. That's a horse. Zeus, Jamie Swords. I mean, that's a horse thing, too. That's not exclusive to mules in any way.
No.
He runs up to me unless I have a halter, and then he acts like a feral beast.
Yeah.
I think it depends on how big the pasture is, too, right? Because the bigger the pasture, the more they act like this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, is Princess come up to the gate, or does she make you trudge the 25 acres to get her?
Oh, it depends on. No, she. If I go out with sufficient treats, she will whinny at me like a Disney pony and come like cantering up. Like she knows, she can hear like a peppermint wrapper from like a mile away. But if I am like low on the treat supply, or like God forbid empty handed, she, or if she's grumpy, if she's like angry at me from something from the day before, because she will hold a grudge, like it is a she keeps it like a pet, you know, and then she'll run away, like just flat run away from me.
Such a pony thing, too.
Such a pony thing.
We'll do one more. If I sleep in, he hollers until I wake up to feed him. We have donkeys all around us. It seems like every farm surrounding us has donkeys. And let me tell you what, when one donkey goes, they all go. And you hear them all at the same time. And there is nothing like the sound of about 10 donkeys going at the same time in stereo all around you. And they do have times, and it's twice a day at feeding. So I imagine mules are much the same.
I didn't realize that they were like the roosters of
twice a day they go off, and you know, donkeys. It's just, and so if mules are anything like that, then I get that. I get why.
Yeah. That was an interesting alarm clock to wake up to.
The other article you had highlighted in here is I found very interesting. Do you want to go over that one?
Yeah. This is actually, it's from our sister site, Jumper Nation, but we cross-posted it to Horse Nation because I think it's so relevant. It's like, it's called ISO a Unicorn, a realistic look at equine purchase prices. And it's kind of ask the question, like, why are horses so expensive? And then a contributor, this contributor, Melissa Collins, breaks it down, like, by the numbers. Like, she sort of takes a, you know, you can't, like, the sort of, like, flipping a horse. So she takes sort of a hypothetical $6,000 horse, and then in a hypothetical 6-month turnaround to sell it, and tax on all of the expenses between when she purchases the horse and when she sells it. So she says $6,000 to that's what she buys it for, and then she wants to sell it in or she sells. Basically, over the course of 4 months, I mean 6 months, she spends $4,000 on it. So even if she sells it 6 months later for, you know, $10,000, she's still losing money on the horse. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not even include, like she says, she tacks on, you know, her what she put into a vetting. What she, you know, spends to haul it back to her farm, monthly feeding cost, farrier, you know, veterinary costs. And this doesn't even factor in like the time she's invested in the horse, riding it, bringing it along, that sort of thing, or the risk that you assume when you purchase a horse, that you're going to get anything back out of your investment. Because we all know that they can, you know, break, they're easily breakable. Or sometimes horses just don't, you buy them and they turn out to be completely not what you were hoping they would be. So kind of, I don't know, just kind of, it was interesting for me to read, I thought, because it puts it in perspective of, you know, you look at a horse, the prices of horses, and you're like, man, that seems really pricey. That seems kind of over the top. But you're like, man, if you start going backwards down the number line and doing the math, it's like difficult to not lose money on a horse.
Yeah, no question about it. And it seems to be, if your horse is going to be under $20,000, especially if you're in the $5,000 to $10,000 range, you're going to have a hard time making any money, because those other numbers are, you know, the vetting and the hauling and all of that stuff. It doesn't matter the price of the horse, right? They're going to be the same. They're going to, and if you have any veterinary at all, it's going to add it up really quick. So the only way to make money selling horses, and that's how the professionals do it, is they're dealing in horses that are $50,000, right? Mm-hmm. Or $100,000, where these costs are still the same, but they don't affect, you know, they don't really chop into the whole amount of profit that you have on the on the lower price horses. And so that's the only way, right? Yeah. It's the only way you're going to make money. It's $20,000 and up.
Yep.
And then if you can double your price, so you buy it for $20,000 and you can sell it for $40,000, and do it quickly, because that's the other thing, right? They can't keep these horses around for years. Right. The longer they keep them around, the less profit they're making.
Yeah.
It's tough.
But when you're going up into that price range, like, your market is so much more limited. That's obviously right. I mean, you know, who has that sort of money to?
Well, and then your horse better have done something. You're not going to have a horse that hasn't done anything, right?
Right. And then you're looking at, on top of that, you know,
horse
added
fees and travel and
exactly.
Yeah. So basically, we just come down to the thing we've always known, is that we don't make any money having horses.
Yep. The only way only way to make money on horses
is to not have horses. Not horses.
Yeah.
But it was interesting the way she wrote it, and she put all the numbers down, and it's something we all know, but nobody wants to put the numbers down for it.
Right. And she also makes a point, you know, like, everybody wants this perfect sound, you know, fancy horse, good looking horse, and on this tiny budget. And it's just not really necessarily realistic. And one of my favorite parts of this, she says, good horses cost money. You know, with the occasional fluke, she said, I've said it before and I'll say it again, when looking for a horse, you have a few options, sane, sound, or cheap. But you can only choose two. Like,
that's really good true. Thing. I never heard it said that way. That's
sane and sound, but expensive, or sane and cheap, but unsound, like the sound and cheap, but not sane. So
that's a good quote.
That's
I saw an article. I don't know if it was Horse and Hound or where it was. I just saw it this morning in passing and I didn't get a chance to read it extensively, but they did a study of people selling horses. Uh-huh. And they studied like 3,500 of them. And you know how we do really bad ads every Friday. You've helped with that.
Yeah.
You know, and what they said was only 20% of the ads were written well. It was like, no kidding.
Yeah.
They said only 20% of the ads included all the information needed to actually know what the horse is. And you know, judging by our really bad ads every Friday for the last 8 years, I would say it's even less than 20%.
Yeah, right? But bless them for it, because we get a good laugh. We've gotten some great laughs.
Yeah, because you have a site that sells horses, and that's more expensive horses too. And it's still the same way. The ads come in horse $20,000.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to need a little more info than that.
Yeah. And then the picture of the horse is in the field about 20 acres away, you know, eating grass out in the field.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not going to help sell a $20,000 horse.
No.
All right, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. And next week, you'll be on, but you'll be on at a different hour. You're going to be on at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
8 p.m. That's okay. Right. All right.
8 cool. p.m. next Monday night for the final party hour of Radiothon.
Whoa.
We're going to give away a couple big prizes. We have a Wintec saddle of a person's choice. They can pick any Wintec saddle. That'll be a grand prize and a $500 shopping spree from Weatherbeta. So all of that coming up next Monday. And Leslie's joining us. Kristen's joining us in the last hour. So it'll be a party.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, Leslie.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow with the Certified Horsemanship Association. They will be here talking training. And then Wednesday, we're going to have our special thankful episode here on Horses in the Morning. And you can call in. And everybody that calls in, we'll give them a credit for Radiothon. We'll give them an extra line entry for winning prizes. And the phone number to call us is 435-272-1997. You can also find that on the website at horsesinthemorning.com. Thank you, Jennifer. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Woo!